This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Today we're joined by Dusa Weisman, also known as Serpent Goddess, who's the author of the forthcoming book, Dear Cycle Breaker. This book offers transformational rituals and channeled wisdom to help readers reclaim their inner magic, heal through the divine feminine, and awaken the powerful, authentic self beneath layers of conditioning and past wounds. Dusa fell in love with shamanic practices as a child, building a foundation that led her to train with indigenous elders and respected leaders in the healing arts. Her medicine blends yoga, pranayama, meditation, qigong, herbalism, music, and trauma-informed somatic healing. So rooted in the art of inner alchemy, Dusa guides others into the depths of their shadow to unite light and dark, unlocking their true power and potential. Dusa, I'm so glad to welcome to the Casual Temple.
I'm so happy to be here. I just adore you, and I'm just super grateful. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, you know, we kind of just get started from the beginning. So wherever you consider the beginning, and what led to your book?
What do I consider the beginning?
Yeah.
I feel like my childhood plays a huge role in where I am today. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I would always be the one who would play outside by themselves. I'd be in a sandbox just like drawing butterflies. And I lived in the ghetto. I lived in the hood. And I always felt deeply connected to the earth. Mm-hmm. And it always felt as though, like, I got along with people. I could blend in, but I also felt like an alien.
Right.
And
yeah,
there were times where I was actually like, I would be like rain dancing on purpose. Like, I'm like, I'm rain dancing. And sure enough, it would always rain. And my mother, like, she will tell you to this day, like, there's absolutely no lie. She'd be like, oh, wow, I can tell it's about the rain. She's getting hyper again. Oh, no. And then, boom, here it comes.
Wow.
And so I still have a really deep connection to the rain. Even I have two children, even them, like, if we're out walking and it looks like it's going to rain, they say, don't say anything. Just let it, don't let it rain on us. Because sometimes I'm like, having the rain, like, getting rained on is fun. They're like, no, just be quiet. So that was my first taste of connecting to the elements. However, that was also my first taste of duality because, and it's so crazy because I recently just went back home to see my family and I realized that all of my houses were right across the street from a funeral home. I thought it was just my high school home, but then I saw my elementary home and it was literally like two houses away was the funeral home.
Wow.
And as I was growing up, I did not understand it. I always felt this connection to the other realms. However, it kind of made me depressed, right? Because I'm constantly seeing people lined up. And then I'm constantly seeing, as I get older, friends that I know passed away.
Right.
My grandfather passed away at 55. To me, was really young.
Yeah.
And then when my first boyfriend, my high school sweetheart, was murdered, and I had to go across the street for his wake, that was when it was like, no, this cannot be real life. Like, I don't know what this is, but this cannot be real life. And where I grew up, there weren't any yoga studios. There weren't any types of meditation places. Like, I grew up in a Christian household with my grandmother where it was just like fear mongering, like,
Yeah.
do good or you go to hell. Do good or you go to hell.
Right.
I used to have nightmares about that.
Right.
I used to have nightmares. I was on this roller coaster and I'd be like, wee, wee, wee. And then boom, I'd get dropped down into hell because of all these like
Right.
fear tactics.
Oh, no.
So yeah, after that happened though with my first boyfriend, I was just like, no, I have to escape here. And so I was 15 when that happened. What I did was I put myself in summer school so that I can graduate high school a year early.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Atlanta. And my mother and my grandmother, they're like, what are you doing? You've never even been there. You're 17. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Yeah.
And so I feel like for me, that was a start. That was the catalyst. And you know, it's so crazy. And I just realized this recently. I really feel like my trip back home this time around was healing on so many levels, because before there were spaces that I avoided. I avoided going down the street where my boyfriend was murdered. I had not even gone to visit his gravesite since that happened when I was 15.
Right.
Now I'm 38.
Right.
And so I avoided these places, but this time when I went back home, something said it's time to revisit. Because the first time I did go back to like the street where it happened, it might have been like 2 or 3 years after I left. And I couldn't really remember where the street was, but as soon as I made it to the street, my body remembered. And I just started breaking down crying. And this is why I really know that there's some truth to the whole thing about our body holding memory and our body holding trauma. Because my body just like broke down. I was like, oh my God, it's right here. Did not go back there after that. But this time, this trip, it was like, it's time to go. And so I went down that street and there was reverence. Like I did get emotional, but I didn't. I got emotional for a different reason, for thinking like, wow, I have truly healed. I have truly, this was me coming to my hometown to meet with a bookstore about my book signing. Like things are entirely different than what it was when I was growing up, than what it was the last time I was here. And then I even made my way to his gravesite, which was about 45 minutes away from my hometown. And I just felt like this checkpoint, like this energetic checkpoint of you were supposed to be here. There was this rush of energy, like really, really intense. And even my little brother, he was too young when it happened, but he had a really deep connection to him as well. And so he came with me and he's like, I know you're used to this. You're used to energy, but his hand was literally vibrating for like 30 minutes, the whole ride after that. And I made a joke. I was like, listen, I have been dating the wrong guys and I need you to be my guardian angel and to like step in, intervene, right?
Yeah.
And so as we were driving out of the cemetery, I kid you not, my ex-boyfriend, who I literally just broke up with a year and a half ago, and it was like the biggest, like I had to break that cycle just to even birth this book along with many others. Mm-hmm. But I was toying back and forth with, was that the right decision? Because that was the deepest love I had ever felt, the strongest love I had ever felt, but it was also very traumatic.
Yeah.
So I'm still toying with the idea of like, dang, wow, this is really over. As we're leaving, I see this huge, huge, huge tombstone, like huge. There's no decoration, no writing. The only thing that's on it, like no dates. The only thing that's on there was my ex's name in big, bold letters. No last name, just his first name, like boom. And I took that as a sign of like, I need to bury that. I need to leave that alone. But it was just been a healing process. And I realized too that he used to call me, my first boyfriend, he used to call me Ia all the time. And I never knew what that meant. But I've gone through different initiations in the Yoruba tradition. And it wasn't until right before that trip where I was like, oh my gosh, Ia means mother. They also refer to Ia as the witches. They also refer to it as like the cosmic being. He was calling me this my entire, like, you know, teenage years. And I don't even know if he knew, like, you know? So it's just like, yeah. So I feel like that trauma was a big catalyst into how I landed where I am today. And that's exactly what I did. I turned all these different cycles because, you know, I left hometown, but you can't just run away. That's not how you heal. Like, it's going to follow you. I didn't know that. I thought I could, but it followed me. And that's what, you know, the inspiration behind the book is to like, okay, what are all these cycles I had to break to make it to where I am today? And let's turn that into universal medicine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So many interesting things, like even sort of your own sort of embodied knowing of doing rain dances or all these, you know, rituals. You're like just doing it as a child, right? That's so amazing.
Thank you.
And then just growing up and try like probably being a little, like you said, a little bit of a square peg in a round hole kind of situation. And then this, I'm so sorry to hear about your first boyfriend. That's so like I can't even imagine that at such a young age, but I can see that, but out of that came all these like synchronicities and even like the name he was calling you and how amazing. And I think those things are cool because you don't maybe like at the time, right, when he's calling you these things, you're like, oh, cute name and blah, blah, blah. But then just years later and it comes, time is not linear, right? It's just like it all like makes sense. Gosh, so I'm very curious, like, how did you discover like all these different modalities? Like where did you learn how to do them? Did it start when you were really young or like the yoga, the pranayama? Like where did that all step in?
That came in. So I was first introduced to hot yoga back in like 2006, but I knew my very first time I did hot yoga, I was like, no, there's something else to this. Like, this doesn't feel like the full thing. And I don't know, there's always been this inner sort of seeker inside of me that when I learn something, I want to trace it back to its source because I want the most untainted version of it. So if it's a practice, a spiritual practice, whatever it is, I'm like, okay, let me trace it back. I want to chase it back to the undiluted source. And somehow intuitively, I just knew that there was something deeper. But it wasn't until I had my daughter that I went through postpartum depression. And oof, this is a full circle moment that lately I've been finding myself just crying tears of gratitude because of these signs that are always there, that are always playing out. So I used to work at this law firm, and I was going through yet again another horrible relationship. Can you tell that's one of the biggest cycles I had to break? And I think, because it's like my heart turned cold after that first trauma happened. But then I start opening it up, but I'm just like dating, like subconsciously dating the wrong type. So maybe I was afraid to feel that feeling. So maybe I was going for people who I didn't necessarily, we won't go
I
down that
see.
route.
I got you.
So in this relationship and literally pissed off at myself because I'm like, I didn't even like him in the first place. And how am I so stressed out?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
How am I so upset? And there was just so much trauma, even with him, with his mother. There was just so much. I remember I was driving to work. By then, I had already been working at this law firm for about 6 years, maybe. So autopilot, right? When you're used to going a certain route, you're driving, and sometimes you arrive at the location, and you're like, I don't even remember driving, but I'm here. There was one moment where I was driving to work, and I could not pull over into the parking lot. I kept going, and then I had an out-of-body moment, and I said, body, like, turn, what are you doing? Like, turn, 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 turn. And when I did not follow my own cues inside my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm broken. Oh my gosh. And I just kept driving. I would not pull over. And so finally, I pulled over on side of some random street, and I just started crying. And I couldn't even fix myself to confront anybody. I didn't call anybody. I like disappeared for the whole day. Actually, I don't even remember. Maybe I just sat in the car and crying for the whole time. Because I spent hours away. I didn't clock in. I didn't call in. I was embarrassed. And it's so crazy because I recently watched this documentary recently that I highly recommend that's called Witch. But they correlate the moments where women have these sort of dark night of the soul moments postpartum and how people expect women to just pick up and keep going as if it's like, you're a woman, you're made for this. But these are also the times, and this is very, medicinal for you don't have to be a woman or you don't have to have had a child to experience this, but it's in those dark night of the soul moments where you can connect to your lineage and connect to your power, connect to your wisdom, connect to your magic. But boy, is it scary there sometimes, And some people do lose themselves to that space. But here I am having this sort of just, I knew, like I literally felt like I was losing my mind and that maybe I needed to be admitted. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. And so instead of that, honestly, I don't know what it was, but something just told me meditation was the key. I have no idea. Like I said, where I grew up, there was none of that anywhere around. So maybe there's something to like this past lives or things like that, because somehow I knew meditation was the key. And so I went to try and go find authentic meditation studios or places to learn. And I remember I arrived at this like cult-like place. And I arrived, mind you, I'm super depressed.
Right.
And I arrived there. Well, I don't mean that, Cosmos. I meant I'm telling a story. I'm not depressed. I was at that time, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I arrived there and the person enters the door and they're like, "Hi, we're so happy you're here." And I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You're right. That's a lot.
A little much, right?
Yeah.
And then I come in and I'm looking at the people who were there receiving the medicine or receiving the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like zombies. They're just like, "Hi, how are you?" And I'm like, "This is not working for you guys. I don't know what this is, but..." Mind you, I don't have a reference point for meditation, but I'm like, this don't feel right. I've always had a strong connection to my gut though. I've always been, you know, connected. So I left out of there. Did I go back? They were trying to teach me too, like, okay, meditation, pretend like there's a vacuum cleaner in space. And as soon as you have a thought, we're going to suck it up. And I was just like, I cannot do this. Like, this is not it. And so that same relationship, ironically, he was trying to show me some video that I was so not interested in. It was like a very, just something that just did not make your energy feel good.
Mm.
And as he walked away, after the video ended, I saw this guru's face at the top of the screen. And I was like, huh, there's something about his eyes that I just can't look away from. And I started clicking on his videos, and every video, video after video after video, was just truth. It was just a resonance that made logical sense. There was no religion, there was no hoopla. And so I ended up reading a book called Midnight with the Mystics. And this book was telling this woman who was meeting with the guru nightly at midnight and recounting stories. And she recounted like everything she had been through. And I saw so much similarity between she and I, from going through these horrible relationships to then being a single mother to her psychedelic journeys to then finding this guru. And I just felt so much of me in her that mm-hmm. I was like, I must go through this process too. It helped her. It must help me. I looked it up. He was coming to Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta at this time. He was coming to Atlanta literally like the next month or so. And I was like, oh, this has to happen. This must be. And so I go there. And the entire time, I'm like, I used to always communicate with the cosmos, with everything around me. So I would say, you know, if he's the real deal, I want him to make eye contact with me. And there's hundreds of people there. I'm naming things that feel are outlandish. Just to see that, you know, that divine nudge, like, yeah, we're talking to you. And so there was a time where we closed our eyes and we're doing this meditation and he had us open our eyes. When we closed our eyes, he was sitting on the stage far away. When we opened our eyes, he was standing directly in front of me, staring me in my eye and was using me as an example of what he was discussing. I was like, okay, that's beyond eye contact.
Yep.
And so that wasn't enough for me. I needed a sign in your sign. So right. I was like,
yep.
We went outside to play soccer. I said, if he's the real deal, let him kick the ball to me. Boom. Before I even finish like ball to me, he kicks the ball to me. And I'm like, he's in my head. And I just kept doing this. Like at this point, I'm really looking forward to one day, like having a conversation with him and being like, do you remember this time? Or did you like just to pick his brain? Because
yeah.
I was doing it the entire time. And then it comes part for the initiation at the very end. And this is where I became super skeptic, because I've been in churches where they have prophets come and I've witnessed a lot of false prophets
mm-hmm.
who will say things like, you're going to be instantaneously healed and we're going to da da da, and nothing happens. And so I was very skeptical when he said, all right, we're going to do this initiation process and I don't want you to be alarmed because some people might scream, some people might cry. You might hear animal noises. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, here it is. Here's the charade, like, okay. And he starts doing the initiation and all of a sudden my body starts vibrating like intensely. And but it felt very blissful and tears are coming down my face. And it felt like this energy, this just heavy, dense energy was being removed while this blissful energy was being imparted onto me. And I was like, wow, I don't know what that was, but that's exactly what I've been looking for. And
yeah.
so that was my taste of like real spirituality. And using that became like the blueprint, the sort of energetic compass for the different practices that I attracted after that. It was like, okay, can I feel something from this? Not just, oh, it's good for you, it's healthy for you. Can I feel something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can feel something, then I dive in deeper. And, you know, before the days of me showing up online, I was really loving how you would just like be at the right place at the right time. You'd meet someone. Then later on, I got into Qigong because I met this elder man in the neighborhoods of Atlanta, and he was just showing me Qigong, teaching me weaponry, teaching me about knives, teaching me about the mystical. So it was just like me following those golden threads. One thing led to another.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, it sounds like it. It's definitely you're like got the teacher, got the lesson, got the teacher, all of this.
Continuously. Teacher,
Continuously.
teacher, teacher. And I'm always trying to find the most potent form. Okay, you're gonna learn Qigong? I've been training with the Shaolin Temple. I'm not shortcutting, I'm not going to like this one. No, take me straight to the source, you know?
Wow. Oh, that's so amazing. And I love it because I was like, so we were talking about yoga because I had the same situation where it was like, my friends were like, let's go to yoga. And I'm like, there's just, this doesn't feel right. It's like, is it, it's, this is just stretching, right? And a little bit of like meditation at the end, right? Usually. I was like, I just, it bugged me until I found Kundalini yoga is my sort of yoga practice. And then that's more integrated, at least for me, the way my teachers have taught it. Cause it's, it's all about, meditation and chanting and also the yoga, but it's all about like getting you like centered and all of that stuff. I was like, yes, this is what I was looking for.
Exactly. I received my teacher certification in Kundalini yoga as well. And I
See?
felt there. I felt something. So we're both on the same path. Like we
Yep.
felt it. We felt something with there, you know?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, you have so many really cool modalities and I love that you're in Atlanta because my husband actually he grew up in Atlanta in Peachtree, so that's just
Oh,
so
wow.
funny. Yeah.
It's funny because when I first moved to Atlanta, I live in Mexico now,
Oh,
but
yeah.
just recently back in March, I moved here. But spent 20 years of my life, more than I lived in my hometown, I lived in Atlanta. But when I first moved there, it was Peachtree, everything. I was so lost. Peachtree Street, Peachtree Road, Peachtree Dunwoody, Peachtree. I was
Yes.
like, oh my goodness, can you
A
guys
lot of
not think of a
peaches.
different name?
Yeah, exactly. They love their peaches there in Atlanta for sure. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and so you also mentioned like the you are practicing the Yoruba tradition. Where how did that come about?
So with that, I feel like it was sort of this me wanting to connect deeper to my paternal side of my family because my father is from Nigeria, but we lost contact when I was two. My mother remarried, and they like this is before the times of like social media and cell phones and things. So someone threw away letters to his address, and they lost communication. And I've just always wanted to connect deeper to that side of my family. And so then I started to discover Ifa. And I went through some very powerful initiations, going through becoming an Egungun priestess, receiving my hand of Ifa. But the problem that I encountered was that, and this is unfortunately goes on in a lot of different areas of the spiritual space. It has become an industry, and I think that's a big problem because with an industry comes people who are scammers. It comes people who maybe they don't have integrity. They see that there's money involved, there's money to be made, so you don't always get the purest thing. I'm grateful that I did receive really pure initiate, like the processes were undeniable. Whether or not these people had like true, I don't know, you can feel it, you know, back to how we felt. What I did not like was this sort of vow that you had to like, I don't do well with anything that says this is the way and the only way. Like I'm not a religious person. I like to like grab what works for me. And so the different babas that I had encountered were telling me like, "Oh, you got to denounce your meditation." I was like, "Absolutely not.
You're right.
This is
Nope.
like the
Works for
catalyst for
me.
like grounding me. Absolutely not." And then I didn't like how they were saying like, "Oh, the woman has to like just submit to the man can have multiple wives." And I was like, "Absolutely not. No." So I do still have a very deep connection with the Orishas, but I gotta remove the middleman, you know? And I say that in the most respectful way, is that I still have this deep connection to the Orishas, but I will not submit to something telling me to be less than who I am. And so I just have borrowed different pieces. I don't offer that as a service or anything, but it has strengthened my connection to my ancestors to become an Egungun priestess. And it has made sense of me having a connection to the other realms and living across the street from the funeral home. So, you know, what's ironic is that in a Kundalini yoga training, the teacher there, he said to me, because we're going through the different healings and uprooting things. And I was like, okay, I'm having so much healing, but I really cannot fathom what was the point And me growing up around, right across the street from a funeral home, why did I always have to see death? Why? Like, why did I have to experience this? I don't understand, because there are some people who live their life and maybe they don't experience a death until their grandmother dies or their grandfather dies. But, you know, it's few and far in between. But I had like constant someone, young, old, like constantly. And he said, well, you had to be there. You were like anchoring in and allowing them to be, you know, carefully, what's the word that he used? Basically, like you were their guardian, allowing them to safely transition to the other side. You were the anchor. You were the guardian of that threshold. And I was like, I never thought about it like that. I'm sitting here feeling all like, why? Well, why me? And it's like, wow, you know,
That's okay.
That's spirit, I guess.
Yes, like that is true. Mm-hmm. That's confirmation. Wow.
So yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Again, it's sort of like that, like full circle sort of thing, where as a child, you don't, you understand probably, like subconsciously you understood why you were there, but like consciously you're like, why is this happening? Like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm sure that when, you know, your teacher told you that, it like, what made you cry, but it made you like, okay, I guess this makes sense.
Yeah, it made me like reclaim some power from that. And you saying full circle moment just reminded me too of the other thing that I wanted to touch on earlier.
Yeah,
was that so when I, that situation happened when I was driving to my old job at the law firm, on my lunch breaks I used to go right next door, literally walking distance, to this metaphysical store called Phoenix and Dragon. And I would go in there and I would just imagine what it would be like if magic was my life, if that was my work. I felt like that's where I belonged. And I would go there all the time on my lunch break. Even when I quit working there and I was a bartender, I would still go there and I would still go there and just be like, oh, what if this is my life? Full circle moment, I'm having a book signing at that location.
Oh, so awesome.
Book signing and workshop. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh. I got goosebumps. That's really cool. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Well, we did touch on sort of what, you know, inspired you to write your book, Dear Cycle Breaker. What does breaking cycles mean to you personally? And how, you know, why did you want to write this book for people?
Yeah, this book really wanted to write itself, honestly. I get kind of emotional because even how this came to be, it's the prime example of when one door closes, another one opens, because I didn't think it was time for me to write a book yet. And this one woman came to me, she said that she was starting a new sort of publication company and she wants to pour into BIPOC authors, and basically told me I was a shoo-in and that you got this, just like, and I was going through so much to turn in my manuscript to, you know, here I am, I had so many other projects going on, but she told me I was a shoo-in. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Long story short, she does not accept me. And with that setup too, I was going to be in charge of paying for my illustrator, paying for the cover, paying for things out of pocket, right? But I thought, well, I'm looking at the bigger picture. I'd be an author. That one left, and that particular person, there, I won't touch on it too much, but like their energy started to show like, oh, I'm so glad I did not do that with them, because their energy was not what it needed to be. So I let that go and I just didn't even think about it, because my grandmother did have this typewriter. It didn't work, but I used to always pretend like I was typing and writing and an author. So another full circle moment.
Yeah.
And so then I'm just like showing up online, showing up. And then this woman messages me and says, I think you should write a book. And I was like, oh, maybe. Because like, I felt like I needed more to learn. Like I feel like I would write a book when I'm like in my 50s and I'm like seasoned all really well. But I've been having a crazy life so far. So there was something to talk about. But that imposter was trying to tell me, you know. And so she told me she was with Hay House. And I was like, this feels like a scam. Like, there's no way that Hay House is with me. I'm like, this. How did she find me? What is she talking about? And so we scheduled a meeting, and I still was like, because at the same time, I was receiving messages from people who claimed to be with companies, or like, we want to sponsor you, and da 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 da, and it was fake.
Yeah.
So then I saw her email, and it said Hay House, but I still was like, I don't know about this. And then we did the Zoom call, and it says Hay House on it. And I was like, wow, this is really real. Like, and so she was a total angel. She walked me through the entire process. She was like, you just gotta be you. You just got the way that you write, the way you write your captions.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Show up as that. Like, can you send me some stuff that you've already written? And I sent her some stuff, and we were trying to come up with like chapter titles and like brainstorm what the book would be about and things like that. And she had sort of fed these different titles and fed this sort of like synopsis of what the book would be about based mm-hmm. upon my previous writings. And when she fed it to me, I was like, this is brilliant. She was like, Dusa, these are your words. Right. I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, I just took what you wrote and put it. I was like, wow, it's so crazy how we can be so hard on our own work, but then someone like chops it up and feeds it back to us. Literally didn't change anything, just took words from different pieces and put them together. And I'm like, this is brilliant. And she's like, that's you. I'm like, oh wow, okay, let's do this. And so it sort of started to unfold more and more by itself, because originally the book was going to be called Wild, Wise, and Whole, because I wanted to shed light on the full gamut of what it means to be identify as female. You know, like there's people expect you to be this calm, this tamed version, when there's many facets to the goddess. So I thought, well, we need to speak on embracing all these different aspects of our being. And I had a chapter. It was originally just a chapter called Dear Cycle Breaker. And this is like, I'm a double Taurus too. So this is where it started to get really testy, because they were like, we think you should change the title. Because I had already changed the subtitle. And they came back, they're like, we think you should change the title. I'm like, the title's fine. Why don't you write the title? And I have a lot of Aries. I have a lot of Aries. I have equal Aries and equal Taurus in my chart. So typically I go well with changes. I love changes. Oh, but when it came to this, I was like,
no.
Yeah. Why? And I was like, okay. Dear Cycle Breaker. And then I was like, well, now it doesn't really make sense to call it Dear Cycle Breaker when I just have, you know. So I was like, let me take what I did have though, and now tailor each one to a specific cycle. It's what I was already organically doing, but I didn't pull it all the way up out of it. Like it was hidden beneath the surface, but now I made sure I named what that cycle was. Oh. And so I knew that if I told my life story, they would have the rights to it. It could have become a movie. And I was like, no, I don't want that. So what I did was I told my story through the medicine. So there was a time when I was going through scarcity. I wrote about what I needed to hear, but I didn't tell exactly what I was going through. Yeah. But you are feeling what I was feeling by the medicine that I'm offering for that chapter. And so I remember at that same time when she came to me with the book deal, and here it is now, they're giving me an advance. I go from this other deal with the door closed, and I'm like, man, that's horrible, to now a better setup with the same people who published Dr. Joe Dispenza. I was like, what the heck? I'm no Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Right.
And it's like, but you're right. You're Dusa. You're not him. It's like, okay. there goes another level of imposter trying to creep in.
Yeah.
But she really was an angel and was really like rooting for me and saw the potential in me and was pitching for me, giving me creative freedom to like, she's like, even with your manuscript, make it creative. You don't have to do it like a little boring black and white manuscript. So I was adding my pictures and things, because I'm a visual person. That Taurus energy and my Libra moon, I like to capture people through visuals, right?
Yeah.
So I just went all in. And I remember at the same time of me now moving to the next phase of having to write sample chapters and things like that, I started having the most intense pain of my life. Like, it felt like someone had a blowtorch and they were like burning me on my back. And I won't go into all the detail because then we'd be here all night.
Right.
But I go to the hospital. I went to the hospital like two nights before, and they pretty much, I had an IUD at the moment. And this is another reason. This is how I, in the past, have gotten to relationships and I would do things to make the other party happy. But I've never been a birth control person, always been very natural. Mm-hmm. But my partner wanted it, and I was like, okay, well, I'll go with the copper one. That's the most natural. So I did that. My body was rejecting it. And so they removed it, thinking that that would solve the problem. But literally, like 2 days later, maybe even a day later, I'm in the most excruciating pain ever, and I have to go back to the hospital, a different one this time. And they could not find out what's wrong. They're trying to figure out what's wrong. They almost sent me home because the doctor was trying to do the clamp thing on me again, and I had already had it just a couple of days before. And I was like, no, we don't need to do this again. I was like, can't you just like pull up my records? And there was a man who was trying to do it. And he got upset at me because I didn't want him to. And I was like, well, you just have to be upset. Like, no.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So he walked out of here frustrated. I'm like, why was he so angry that I wouldn't let him, like, you know? And then I don't know what happened. Must have been some just angelic stuff happening. Mm-hmm. But I got assigned another female doctor. But then also that doctor that was acting all angry came in, acting all super nice and gentle and sweet. I'm like, where did this change of attitude come from? That's crazy. But they started running test after test after test. Long story short, they could not find what it was. So they admitted me. And I was there for about a week. And they were still running tests, still trying to figure out, still trying to like lower the like to give me antibiotics and different things to lower, what do they call it when it's just the, when you have an infection? Yeah. I couldn't, I'm so disconnected from that. I'm like, I don't even know what that infection, they were trying to lower the infection or whatever. And so then one time she went to do some type of test and she came to me and she said, it looks like we might have to do surgery. And I was like, oh no, what? She's like, yeah, it looks like we're gonna have to do surgery. So the first thing I did, so this is where I can truly have appreciation for my upbringing, because my grandmother, she was my first sort of lesson on the art of devotion. She's a very, 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 very devoted woman. Right now, her church members, she only has about 5 members at the church that she goes to. It used to be really like jumping when I was going there in my childhood, right, when she used to make me go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It used to be jumping. But now there's like 5 members and she still goes. She's still devoted. She's still showing up. She's the usher. And I'm like, Grandma, why are you the usher? Like, no one comes in here. She's like, oh, well. But she's so, just, and I, when she prays, oh, I know she's talking to the heavens, the earth, the ancestors, everything in between. So I go to call her. And I think that plays out too. And when I offer sessions and do ceremonies, I tune into that. Like I go deeply like she does. And I try to call her to warn her. And I'm like, I need her prayers. Like, pray over me. Literally, that doctor comes back 10 minutes later and says, it's time. And I didn't get a hold of my grandmother. And I was like, oh. And so I had to like self-source. I had to like, you know, tell myself I'm going to be fine. And it turned out what happened was that I had an abscess back there that had ruptured. And with you can die because it's, you know, your organs were shut down with sepsis is what it's called.
Yeah, sepsis,
Mm-hmm, your organs shut down. So that's why she was so frantic and was like, we got to go now, now. And like her eyes were buck. She was like, right now. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we go back there and they do the surgery and they had to give me 3 incisions and just so many other things happened. Like, it looked like I was 9 months pregnant. I was swollen. Right. I was going through so many things. And at the same time, I was having these fever dreams. One side of it, I was showing this vision of me, of who I was to be moving forward. Absolutely took my breath away. I was like, wow, how? And then the other side of that, I was met with all this trauma, this pain that I suppressed from that current relationship that I tried to hide and try to show up still online, try to show up in my business. And it came up to meet me like that Cali Ma rage. Oh my goodness. And I was just like, I don't even want him here at the hospital. And so I had to meet with that. So at that same time, right, was when I was trying to have to turn in my manuscript. Well, not the full manuscript, but the actual, the pitch, just to even get the deal.
Yeah.
And so I ended up being in the hospital for 3 weeks. I come home, most intense pain ever. And I'm literally going to sleep, waking up, typing, trying to get it together, trying to get it turned in. Cause she's like, I really want to pitch you. And she's like, you got to give me deadlines. Cause if it's just like free flowing, like,
right.
Sorry, I'm a projector and like all this other energy. And so, excuse me. So I was trying to meet that deadline. I was waking up. So I literally was putting my blood, sweat, and tears into this. I was in so much pain getting that. Boom, they accepted it. And then I almost didn't take the deal because there were people around. This is why you need to watch who you're around, because it was like my ex, it was like his business partner, it was like a so-called friend of mine that I had at the time. It was like, well, you didn't need to take the deal because they only give you a small percentage of royalties, and you can just write a book yourself. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I was like, let me listen to what I did. Well, why don't I try to ask for a higher advance? And then they accepted it, no problem. And I was like, damn, I should have went higher. I was like, why did I go higher? It was literally almost double the amount that they
Oh,
originally
dang.
quoted me. And then I was like, damn, like. But anywho, I was very grateful. I was very, very
Yeah.
grateful. And the deal went through. I really wished that I still worked with the UK department, because there's the UK department who found me. But I won't. I'm grateful. The US is a whole other story,
Right.
but I'm still grateful that the process happened. And
Yeah.
that's how the book came to be. It's a total angel came. And yeah, it came from me knowing that I was like, okay, what do I write about? I have to write about what I know.
Yeah.
What I know is the things that I've experienced, the things that have helped me along my path, helped me along my journey. And if I can do that, if I can overcome the brief things that I've told you about, not even
Yeah.
telling you everything, to now where I'm at, then this is gonna help somebody. And it's so crazy because me making the decision to leave that relationship that I was in for 6 years, I didn't have any money saved. I didn't have any plan. I just knew something dropped in my head. Okay, you got to go to Mexico. I'm like, how? And I have two children. And like I said, nothing saved, but I just did it. And exactly this time last year, I was staying at my friend's house, crying myself to sleep over the relationship ending. Also, having the nudge, that same divine guidance was like, also, pull back your offers. I'm like, well, how am I gonna make money? How you want me to go to Mexico? How am I gonna go to Mexico?
Yeah.
But I just had to listen. I just had to trust. And so I do that, and lo and behold, random checks start coming in the mail. Like random things started happening, and then I just focused. I locked in on my work. So I'm going back and forth between grieving and high priestess mode, and lo and behold, here I am a year later, in exact Kefala. My son's right there. My careful with the camera. What are you trying to do? Okay. Speaking of,
Right.
they're here with me in Mexico. So yeah, it's a
Hey.
beautiful experience.
Wow, that is such a journey from your book, and like also this, I keep thinking like cycles, right? Like as
Yeah.
much as like for me, and this is my experience, and this is why I think your book is so great, because honestly, like we think we've cleared the cycle. And then it shows up again later, maybe in a different form, right? Like you've learned something from that clearing of that cycle, but then it shows up again in a different form. You're like, dang it, I thought I cleared that.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I really, really feel like I got it right this time, because even now with the people who, like, I'm not open myself to dating, but even if when people approach me, I'm so selective. I'm so picky. I will not. This one guy wanted to try and date me and try to like talk about something I was wearing. I was like, absolutely not, because I've had it in the past where a man tries to talk to me about what I'm wearing, and I don't carry my, even if I did, but I
Yeah.
don't carry myself like whatever you want to call it, hoochie mama or whatever you want to say. I
Well,
don't. But
yeah.
for you to have a say so on what I wear, like, you don't have a right to say anything about me and like that. So I really
Yeah.
have reclaimed so much of my power, even the way I show up online, because that also prompted me to take the same divine guidance said take a year off of social media. Well, it didn't tell me how much time. It just said take a step back, and it ended up
Right.
being a whole year. And that's the thing. When you finally decide to embark on your soul's mission, this was me saying yes to that vision I was shown, that vision that I was shown in that hospital bed. And I'm like,
Right.
okay, I gotta fully trust in that mission, which means I also have to be very, and I say this lightly, because, okay, devoted. I'll say devoted instead of obedient. I had to be very devoted to that and listen, follow it step by step, not try to infuse my own thing inside of it. Because I could have been like, oh, I need money. Let me launch a course, or let me do this. But that's another problem that's with the industry right now, is that people are motivated by money and not necessarily like, what do I want to birth? They're more concerned with, I need money right now. And so
Yeah.
I was like, I will absolutely not do that in trusting and having that divine faith. And now here I am. And that's why I literally cry tears of bliss nowadays, because I'm like, wow, I'm in exact space that I was shown that I would be in and growing. So I get chills when I think about 2026, because I'm like, this is just the beginning and it's happening, it's unfolding. And all I had to do was be in stillness, listen, follow the cues, and take that next step to cross that threshold, even when the steps weren't there, to jump and literally say, hey, universe, catch me, wee!
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's all about being sort of receptive. Mm-hmm. And so with that, sort of like the receptive, and then obviously you're very in touch with like sort of the divine feminine. Mm-hmm. So like, why is the divine feminine so essential for us in these times today?
Oh, such a beautiful question. And it's so important. And I address a lot, like I speak to the feminine aspect in the book solely because that's my lived experience. But really, this book is for everyone. Those who don't identify as female, those who have women in their life and they want to know how to create the necessary environment for the goddess to flower. But I think it's so important right now because you think about back when there were a lot of cultures who did practice, it was goddess worship. They worshiped the land. They worshiped the earth. They understood and had reverence for the goddess. A lot of those temples were defaced. A lot of those religions were wiped away, or practices, spiritual practices were wiped away, mm-hmm. and they were given a different religion. And with that came sort of this very father, masculine, dictatorship, like just very just like divide and conquer energy. And so the feminine has been suppressed. So we need to not, you know, and it's not to do, because this is what happens in cycles too, right? Sometimes you think, well, maybe I'll do the opposite. And it's like, right. No, that's not the answer. The answer is not to like make the divine feminine surpass the masculine. It's like, let's bring her back up into reverence. Yeah. So maybe there won't be wars. Maybe there won't be, you know, females feeling like they are playing small. They're in relationships where they're not letting the full spectrum of them shine. Like, we just need to bring back that reverence, because I feel like if we did, we wouldn't harm the earth like we did. We wouldn't, you know, be so, oh, I want to take over. I want to take. You know, the mother is nurturing. It's this nurturing energy. And whenever there's this imbalance, there's going to be issues. There's going to be trouble. So I think it's highly important so that we can start to bring this equilibrium back into society.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. Yeah, and I always think about it especially in our current time, it's like, you know, there's a lot of talk about being kind to the earth and stuff like that. But I'm like, but we're not though.
We're not.
And that's like the feminine, right? It's where we live. It's like our womb. It's where everything comes from. It's mm-hmm. our nurturing energy. And like, I think we're getting a lot better as a species, but you know, like just a little bit more of the feminine energy, I think is going to be great.
Exactly. And it's almost like this thing too, in terms of women reclaiming their voices.
Oh, 100%.
It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to do though, right? Cause even with me, after culmination of my book, I got terrified. Like first, I was super excited. I was like, oh, this is good. I was like, I don't care who, this is the first thing. And I can honestly say this, out of all the things I've created in my life, this is the first thing I've created where I was like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. This is good. And I started crying because I felt my ancestors standing behind me, like cheering me on, like, you did it. Like, look at you, you did it. And I was just crying. Yeah. But after that, as things started to settle in, as we got the cover, as we got the, you know, it's posted up that the book is for sale, I was like, oh my gosh, because now here's my grandmother. My grandmother's been bigging me up to the church, and she's been like, oh, my granddaughter's an author. And I'm like, this is not the kind of book you want to bring to church, grandma. But I'm an angel in her eyes, right? She sees me wrong. And it's not that these practices are wrong, because even with this, can you believe that I sent out an email informing people, because I had been gone a long time, and I was like, hey, this is where I've been, and the very heart-to-heart message, and I talked about the book, and this one woman responds, and she's like, you need Jesus, and I can offer you salvation right now for all the demonic stuff that you're doing. And I didn't respond to this. I don't give any of that stuff energy.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm thinking like, what? Hugging trees is wrong? Like saying thank you to Father Sky and the sun is wrong? Bowing to the sun is wrong? You know, it's like, and I guarantee you I'm more deeply connected to the divine than you are, because you would not come to me like this with this hateful energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I got nervous because I'm like, wow, this is my truth. These are my practices. Each chapter comes with a ritual. And I called it sacred action, but it's still a ritual, you know? Each chapter has a ritual attached to it. And, you know, there's this sort of subconscious fear, or was this fear of like, wow, this is the kind of stuff where people got burned at the stake for in the past. Like, this is me, like, showing and showing who I am. But we just have to do that. We have to live in our truth. And I just really feel in my body that, you know, that will not happen. Like, yeah, like, there's different forms of this happening with the trolls, the internet trolls, like that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's going to do more good than harm for women to reclaim their voice, to reclaim their power, reclaim their sovereignty.
Oh, I love thinking about that. That's so wonderful. Like, even with all the gunk that would come with you being public, right? And an author and your ideas and things that you're sharing, it's the good is way outweighed than what's coming with it. So I love that perspective.
Thank you.
Just a couple more questions. I love, you're so great to talk with you.
I love this interview so much. Yes. Can I say this is like my favorite interview? Maybe I shouldn't say that. I love it.
I love that. Thank you so much. How do you feel that, because you mentioned there's rituals in your chapters, like, why did you decide to include rituals? And why ritual? What's important about rituals?
So I kind of wanted, there's a couple of different things to this. I wanted to demystify, one of my favorite chapters is The World is Your Altar. I think that's the one that I do this with, because I kind of stepped away because I didn't want to start nitpicking at it again. But I think it's The World is Your Altar chapter where I start demystifying what it can mean to be in practice, to be in ritual. I start saying things like, okay, when you open a door, you can visualize you're walking on the other side to your highest self. So then everyday life becomes magic. I want to kind of like lessen what it means to be in tune in that sort of magical state with your surroundings to where, you could go grab these tools and you can go do X, Y, Z, but our ancestors, they use their body, they use their voice, they use their hands, you know? And so there are some that require maybe candles, water, things like that. But for the most part, there's a lot of them in there where it's just requiring you and your body. Mm. And I feel like it's one thing to read, but we need to put into action. Because also what's happening right now is that there's a lot of regurgitation. There's a lot of people who intellectually are smart, who can quote to you X, Y, Z, da, 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 but they're not embodied. They haven't physically experienced what they're speaking about. And you can tell. Especially since I've taken this year-long break, I can't even be on social media. I log in, I post. If there's a friend that I see right there after I post, I might like and comment, and then I'm out of there.
Right.
Because it's just, it's so filled with noise, and I'm not the noise.
Yes.
And so this is a way of like, okay, so you're going to read about this, but now let's also cement this. Let's like go ahead and rewire this within our body, and so that it can really be felt bone deep and not just surface level in the head.
Wow, I love that so much. Oh yes. Definitely in sort of my practice as well, there's a lot of like, because I kind of come from the Western ceremonial tradition, and there's a lot of like what I would call like egghead, like just people like who know everything about what's in the book, but it's like they don't actually like go and be embodied, which I think is, as a human being living our experiences as a human being, that's important to like literally move your body and say the words. And so I love that that is your perspective for including those rituals, because I think it's just huge. Huge.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, because it really is. It's that's how my life became more magical, is when I just started to, you know, practice animism and practice like admiring and having gratitude for everything around me. And my world literally, like even right now, it literally feels like the cosmos are flirting with me. I'm like, this cannot be life. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is so much fun. You like me. You're romancing me.
Right.
Because that's what happens when you give gratitude, and when you are in that divine connection, and you're deeply connected to your intuition, you're connected to your divine counsel, you're following, you know, the instructions, the sacred instructions, the sacred actions, and life can truly be beautiful. And I've come to believe that now my path moving forward is more so, one, showing people how to be decent human beings again, because I feel like with all the social media, we've forgotten how to have true community, true tribe, and true connection. Nowadays, people speak to you in memes and reels. They'll send you a reel to tell you how they feel, as opposed to telling you how they feel, you know? And it's like, no, like, can we get to that true connection and just learn how to live supernaturally at the same time, right? That's being that human being, but that's living a supernatural life, and understand that I'm not special. Like, to have this happen for me, whatever it is in your mind that you're desiring can happen for you too, as long as you tap into that, you know, and believe in that. So,
yeah, Beautifully said. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. So can we tell everybody like when's your book coming out? Where can we get it? I know you're kind of stepping away from social media, but where can people find you? All the good stuff.
I'm reemerging now. I'm starting to show up, but
Right.
I'm doing it more wisely, you know.
Yeah.
I'm doing it not from a space of what do people want from me, just more so what makes me feel good. Like
Yeah.
I'm going to start moving more into my artistry, my filmmaking, music, sharing that more, and to see that it's being received well, and I'm just like, okay, I like this. You know, it's so funny because I've always not really paid attention to threads. It was always like an afterthought. But lately, because I'm like, okay, it's time to show up because I've been in so much stillness now. I'm like, okay, it's one thing to create something, and all my artists know this, but you create something, but then it's a whole other animal when it's time to share it. And I
Oh
know
my
there's
God,
so
yeah.
many artists out there. I guarantee you, there are so many artists out there who are sitting on some brilliant stuff who aren't sharing it. So share it. If you're listening to this and you're an
Aww.
artist, like share that. So I'm like, I gotta give this due diligence and start showing up and start talking about it. And I go over to Threads to talk about it. And I look at when I just make like a regular caption, no, really not much attention. If I post a video of something else that's not me, not much attention. I post a photo of me and a little saying, it does crazy numbers. I'm like, you guys like want me to be, I'm like, well, that's easy. I can just post a photo. And each time I post a photo and write a little caption, it goes crazy. I'm like, all right, my life is becoming easier because now I just gotta go
Yeah.
find some photos and post. And it's becoming easier too with social media in terms of like Instagram, of just me, what do I want to post? My poetry, the things that I want to do, and having it fun that way. So they can still find me on social media now and then. I'm serpent.goddess on both Instagram, both TikTok, and should be Threads too. And so the book comes out on
On this
Tuesday.
Tuesday? Oh my
This
gosh, that's
Tuesday.
so
Well, I don't know
exciting.
when this is
Oh.
gonna air,
Yeah, it might
but
be
just
after that, but go get it,
because
everybody.
we wanted to connect before, but I'm in Mexico, the
That's
Wi-Fi was
okay.
doing its thing.
Yeah.
But it comes out December 2nd, and it's available everywhere. Books are
Oh my
sold. So you can get it
gosh.
at your local bookstore. Buy if they don't have it, you can order it online and then pick it up from your local bookstore. It's at Barnes and Nobles, Amazon, Target, all these sorts of things. It's a well, I don't talk about Target, but
Oh, Target.
I'm inviting you to shop locally when possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm gonna get a copy because I love the idea of the book, and I love that, your perspective on it. So everybody get a copy who's
Please,
listening.
because here's the other thing,
Yes.
right? Because
Yeah.
it's I'm with a major publisher, but please support me
Yes.
because
Support authors.
like yeah, it's really you guys need to support authors because just because they're with a published major publishing company, it's all on the author. It's all on them to
Oh,
show up and to market,
yeah.
to promote. They're not pushing the engine. It's on me. So support the work. If you want to see more diverse voices, if you want to see more people with like authentic embodied wisdom, you have to support them so that it can make room for more of those authors to come through.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful message about that. So yes, everybody definitely support your favorite authors who are doing their own unique, wonderful work. Dusa for sure.
Thank
So
you.
excited for you. And so and we always end with like, what words of wisdom would you like to leave us with today after you've shared so much? I want to pull some more from you.
I feel like I want to encourage you wherever you are, wherever you may be in life, because this year has been a 9 year. It's been a year about breaking these cycles, about shedding. This was not on purpose that even that my book is coming out during this 9 year called Dear Cycle Breaker, Divinely Guidance. Shed what needs to be shed, release what needs to be released, let go of what needs to be let go of so you can travel lighter. So that you can start to believe in yourself again and to know that it's only been you standing in your own way. Nothing else can prevent the level of prosperity, the level of abundance, the level of joy and happiness that's for you. Nothing can stop that but you. So why wait? We don't know when we're gonna have our next, inhale, exhale. We don't know when it's gonna be the last exhale. We gotta be grateful for each and every single breath. So why not live life fully turned on, as if like your life is ecstasy, because we just don't know. And the only thing that's stopping that from happening is you. It's how you're responding to your life. It's how you're responding to the cycles. So become aware of them, dismantle them, and do what needs to happen so that you can live out your soul's mission, because we need more embodied beings living out their soul's purpose and to enjoy life to the fullest.
Beautiful, beautiful, of course, beautiful message. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Dusa. I'm so happy we got connected and I'm so excited for you and wonderful work. Let's put the energy that your book's going to do some gangbusters and
amazing. Yes. So, more magic.
More magic. We need that in the world for sure.
I really, really, really appreciate you. I don't even want this to be the last time. May we meet together again. May we meet in person. Like, may this connection strengthen, because I'm truly grateful. And it truly feels good, especially coming off this long break, to be in a space that feels so safe. You feel so safe. So thank you for feeling safe. And thank you for welcoming me and letting me be my full expression. I really thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. That's so lovely. To learn more about the Casual Temple podcast, please visit our website, casualtemple.com. There's a Casual Temple YouTube channel, and you can follow me on Instagram with username @MarilyDuffy or @CasualTemple. Please be sure to leave a review and share this episode with the people in your life who would enjoy this content. Do check out the other episodes of the Casual Temple podcast on your preferred podcast app, and thank you so much for listening.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.